This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, SiriusXM 80 and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Smalls is in the CC seat.
The CC seats.
Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen, Chris Canty back with us tomorrow. Today is a big travel day. For the NFL draft, we are heading to... You can't turn. I'm looking at you. You cannot... She's like a robot turning here this morning.
I'm like Zoolander. Instead of turning left, I can't turn right. I can't turn right. You know how Zoolander...
I saw Zoolander, but I don't remember that specific line.
You don't?
No.
He can't turn left. He's not an ambi-turner.
Oh, that makes sense, actually.
Yeah, he's not an ambi-turner. He can't turn left.
No, I'm lost. I am absolutely
Come on. Of all
I've seen Zoolander.
I'm the person that's not supposed to know the movies or the quotes.
That's true. But you know Zoolander of all the movies that you know.
Great film.
I'm not saying it wasn't. And then he does the lips, right? He does
like the Blue Steel.
Yeah, Blue Steel.
Go ahead. Do you have a Blue Steel?
Right? Okay. That doesn't work on radio, I just realized. I didn't say a word during that.
That was more Le Tigre than Blue Steel.
Anyway, okay. huge night last night. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, draft night, and a travel day for us. And the reason I bring up a travel day for us is I learned something very interesting today about our producer, Nuno.
Okay.
Nuno is a fascinating individual. He is excellent at what he does. He's very on top of everything.
Yes.
And I bring this up half for you, but really for Pat Costello, because if Pat, our other producer, Loma Giovante, does not know this, this is one of the most amazing things I have learned about Nuno. Nuno, can you give the world right now what you do to determine if your carry-on is too heavy? The exercise you do with your carry-on, because like myself, Nuno and I can discuss this morning, we cannot figure out how to pack with just the one bag.
It's hard.
It's very difficult. Yeah. But Nuno has a strategy. Go ahead, Nuno.
All right. I pack my bag, and then I mimic the lift test. Like, can I get it over my head into the overhead compartment? And be like, yeah, it's no problem. It's good.
So he does.
That's what I do.
He bench presses.
So I'm like, yeah, there you go.
A suitcase.
He's all about health and wellness. It's just getting some extra reps in.
He bench presses a suitcase to see if he can put it over his head into the overhead compartment.
But they don't weigh your carry-on bag, so the weight of it doesn't matter. And you have a flight attendant that will assist you if you can't.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. You can't. There's a pride thing involved there.
Yeah, I ask for help every time.
Well, yes, you can.
Oh, excuse me.
You can ask for help. You can ask for help. I can't.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't. There are two things I want to avoid. That, and I also want to make sure I avoid, like, hitting someone with my book bag or whatever. Like, because I hate that guy, right? Like, the guy or that person who's trying to get situated and, like, they're flinging things around and, like, you're dodging stuff. Like, no, I don't want to be that guy. Smooth, into the plane, and, you know, let's go.
I think as long as you're not the guy that as soon as the plane lands, you unbuckle your seatbelt and try to get off the plane, even if you're in the back of the plane first, you're good. Every other airplane person is kind of okay because that person's the worst.
Yeah, I love the concept of just imagining Nuno at home taking his suitcase and bench pressing it up just to see, all right, can I do this or not do this? And there is a pride thing. I'm not a big believer in that's for men, that's for women in terms of gender. Like, whatever. We're people. Like, I don't care what gender you are.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a stereotype about men have to lift their own suitcases under a certain age. Nuno's right about that.
That's ridiculous.
I know you're right. It is ridiculous. But if Nuno on a plane says to the stewardess or steward that's working there, hey, can you give me some
stewardess?
Flight attendant.
What is it called?
Flight attendant.
Flight attendant. Thank you. I just did that whole gender setup, and then I did that.
What?
That is horrible.
I don't think we're in the 1950s anymore.
I may be, as a matter of fact. Nuno cannot then – not Nuno. A man cannot then say, based on perception – can I have some help? It is wrong, but he's right.
What if you're struggling to get the bag in the overhead compartment and another person on the plane steps up to assist
you? Oh,
that's
even worse.
That's even worse.
Imagine that. Like, I'm struggling to get this, like, my bag in the overhead compartment, and, like, Evan gets up from his seat.
Yeah.
And, like,
hey, I got you, bud. Exactly. I got you. I'm a little taller. I'll help you out.
What we're realizing is that you guys care way too much about what a random group of strangers thinks about
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Thank you,
you're
Pat.
Right.
And
you're
I
right.
could not care less. I'm like, I'm never going to see these people again.
You're
thank
1,000%
you,
literally,
right.
Who cares?
And 13A for helping me with my
just
bag.
Just get the thing in the overhead and sit down. Like,
you're right.
Who cares what
you're
like
right.
the guy totally. In 4B thinks of you?
Honestly, you're so right, Pat. And not only will you never see 4B again, 4B is so happy to help Nuno and Evan put their bag in the overhead.
I don't need help. Don't group me into
if
this. I'm not bench pressing
help,
my carry on.
If you did need help, everyone's just trying to get the bags in the overhead and let's get this thing pushing. Like, let's get off the ground. So
Nuno's running for mayor of nothing. He's just trying to please everybody.
I'm just saying, I'm also, and this might sound like probably going way too far left, whatever, but like, I need you, like, if you're struggling with your bags, I need you to give me like a sign to be like, hey, can you help me out here? Because I don't want to assume anything. And then all of a sudden you'd be like, I got it. Like, leave me alone. Because I, you know, there's been too many of those social media videos where someone tries to help someone and like, you know, it's like, I don't need your help. So like, I'm gonna need a signal from you being like, I need your help here.
I'll help whoever. If you're over a certain age and you're struggling, I'm a big, do you need any help guy
on
the airplane.
I could see that.
The way you're looking at me is so awkward because your neck is moving and like your body is not, you cannot figure out how to work the CC seat. You can't do it.
It's very uncomfortable.
I could see that
and
with you.
And also, he's so tall that I think this chair just has a certain default and the armrests dig into the desk here. So I can't, I'm so short.
Well,
can't.
How tall are you?
5'4"
5'4"
And
he's
short.
6'8" The height differential between the two of you is remarkable.
Yeah.
All right. We are unsportsmanlike. We're going to the draft in Detroit. We're excited about it. True Green, ESPN Bet. Thank you very much. We are going to be broadcasting live Thursday and Friday in Detroit. Last night, we saw NBA action with Minnesota going up 2-0 in their series over Phoenix. Phoenix is 0-14 all time when they're down 0-2 in a series. Jaden McDaniels, of all people, not Ant-Man, McDaniels had 25 points for the T-Wolves last night. Indy tied up their series with Milwaukee with a 125-108 victory. Pascal Siakam was great with 37 points. And Dallas, even though Kawhi comes back last night, Dallas ties up the series against the Clippers. They went on the road in L.A., 96-93. Luka had 32. The game was tied at 73 in the fourth quarter. Dallas goes on an 8-0 run. Late in that game, Kawhi has a layup to cut the lead to 93-90 Dallas, and Luka almost turned the ball over on an inbound, and once they were getting the ball inbounds, they ended up being okay. So you've got Minnesota holding court and Indiana and Dallas starting their series. What do I mean by that? The old Pat Riley-ism, a series does not start until a road team wins. Indiana did their job. Giannis is not there. You win one game, you're happy. Dallas, if I told Dallas before this series, Kawhi or no Kawhi, you go into LA and you split 1-1, they're happy. That series seems like it's bound for 7 games. Mm-hmm. But there you go, Smalls, those 3 games last night.
Do you want me to pick something out of that buffet?
Yes.
To discuss?
Well, what would you like out of that buffet? Yeah, what food would you like out of the buffet?
I didn't know if you wanted to go with one specific game.
No, any of them. Any of the buffet.
So I think for me, I'm looking the most probably at Minnesota Phoenix for a couple reasons. The fact that Phoenix is now in an 0-2 deficit is not great. And we're going to have a lot of questions about Kevin Durant and the future of this version of the Phoenix Suns if they are to get bounced in this round. But Minnesota is so impressive to me. We talked a lot yesterday about the idea of the best team versus the best collection of talent. Minnesota is a team. This is a really good team. Even when Anthony Edwards is being smothered, this team steps up around him. And Karl Anthony Towns talked about that after the game, about how everyone on the team is willing to sacrifice their role or whatever it takes for the betterment of the collective. And I think that makes them a really, really dangerous bunch moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, when you win a game like that and you do not have the best game from Anthony Edwards and you get McDaniel with his big game offensively and defensively, because he's the one guarding KD and Devin Booker at different times, it seems hard to believe that Phoenix is going to come back and win. And Indy and Dallas just Long series. That's what you're going to assume right now. Indy and Dallas are going to take the Clippers and the – or the Bucks and the Clippers, respectively, to potentially six or seven games. A lot of people think Dallas is going to win that series. I've been of the belief that the Clippers are going to win that series. The other thing with the NBA from yesterday is yet another example of the ridiculousness of something, and I love the NBA. You know that, Smalls. Yes. The NBA does that no one else does, and that is the two-minute report. The NBA puts out a two-minute report where they evaluate the officiating and the calls – during the final 2 minutes of every game, and they release it the next day. So they put out a two-minute report for the Knicks and Sixers game two, and this from ESPN.com. And its last two-minute report for the Knicks' victory over the 76ers in game two, the NBA ruled that Tyrese Maxey was fouled multiple times during a frenetic defining sequence, and that the 76ers head coach Nick Nurse called for a timeout, but the referee didn't see it. The league said Jalen Brunson grabbed Maxey's jersey before the ball was inbounded after Brunson's three-pointer cut Philadelphia's lead to two, and that Josh Hart then bumped Maxey as he caught an inbound pass, sending him falling to the ground. Congratulations. You made mistakes. Now what? What would you like to do with that? We're not going to change it. We're not going to replay it. This was the NBA two-minute report was created for transparency in wake of what happened with a horrible scandal around a referee years and years ago, right? The betting scandal. What we have learned since then is that the NBA has been excellent in their partnership with gambling, and that the NBA has people monitoring this. The NBA, as recently as, what, a week ago, banned a player in Jonte Porter for life for gambling in their sport. We have figured out a way of finding that transparency without releasing a two-minute report. And I hope sports fans don't look at this and say, yeah, you know what, I'd love more of this in the NFL or Major League Baseball, the NHL, whatever it is. This is ridiculous. And the other thing, Smalls, the final 2 minutes don't count more than the 2 minutes prior to that or the 2 minutes prior to that or the 46 minutes prior. Exactly. There's just more time or less time to make up for mistakes in the last 2 minutes, but all 48 minutes count the same. Why are we doing this? Why you think a Knicks fan or a Sixers fan today is like, oh, you know what? Great. Finally, they proved us right. You still are down 0-2.
Exactly. There's no repercussions from them getting the calls wrong. It's not as if the outcome of the game is going to shift. So while I appreciate the transparency, I guess getting the two-minute report is probably more frustrating than anything, especially if you're a member of the Sixers or a fan, because you're pointing out, yeah, you got it wrong, and now we're at a deficit, and there's nothing we can do about it.
There's no reason to have it. I'd like it eliminated. I can't imagine that any fan of any other sport would want it in their sport. Like, would you want it in baseball? If they were to release after the game, like, you know, they were basically to say balls and strikes and review every ball and strike?
I think it's a little different because we can see the strike zone so clearly. And on replay, you can always tell whether the guy got the call right or wrong.
It's the whole thing's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. The Knicks defeated the Sixers two nights ago. The Sixers got in based on the 2 minute report, the Sixers got really bad breaks. Unless you're going to replay the end of that game or replay the game in general, there's no point of this whatsoever. We are on Sportsmanlike presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Coming up, Nuno, the man who bench presses his luggage, may have noticed a trend in the NFL draft that no one is talking about that will shake up the draft in a way maybe that we've never seen before. We'll get to that next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
One day away from the NFL draft, J.J. McCarthy, national championship quarterback for Michigan, a huge storyline. We will be in Detroit for the draft, brought to you by True Green. Get the best lawn at the best price, guaranteed. We're going to get to the draft in a second. There was a big debate about what states are in the Midwest during the break.
America's heartland.
So I know that Ohio is in the Midwest. I said that I think some people in Ohio don't necessarily consider themselves in the Midwest. Am I wrong about that?
I don't know what they consider, but as someone who's from the Midwest, I certainly put Ohio in the Midwest. They're okay. In the Big Ten.
Right.
Well, I guess so.
So USC is in and UCLA?
I guess
Rutgers?
Maryland is not in the,
yeah,
in
exactly.
the Midwest. But I'm just
terrible example now. That cannot be used. When we were growing up, that could be used. Not anymore.
Yeah.
But the other ones, you want to eliminate the Dakotas for the Midwest?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, all due respect to the Dakotas, shout out to you guys. You're not in the Midwest.
Is Nebraska?
You know, I think that corridor of North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, it's almost its own column.
So everything west of the Mississippi.
Yeah, it's almost like Midwest West. Like, they need their
Midwest
own.
West?
Yeah, because I consider really like Minnesota down. And basically between Minnesota and Ohio, that little chunk right there to me is the Midwest. So Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin,
those are all east.
Illinois, Indiana.
None of those are west.
No, I'm saying anything.
She wants a Midwest West and a Midwest East.
Of the Mississippi, that is kind of my little Midwest chunk. Now, technically, obviously, Nebraska and Kansas, farmland, heartland, like, yeah, Midwest. But it just feels a little west. The Dakotas feel like it should be lumped into kind of an upper crust.
An upper crust?
Yeah.
Canada?
Like, almost like, push that over with the Montanas and Wyomings. Of kind of like the Northwest.
So you're redoing the map of the United States here.
Yeah, like the Dakotas are kind of like the central Northwest.
So how many categories do we have? We have the West Midwest, the Central North.
Central Northwest.
The Central North. I can't keep track of this. You have basically made this into the college conferences.
Like, if I met someone on the plane today, if I sit down and the person next to me says, "Where are you from?" And I say, "Oh, I'm from Illinois." And they're like, "Ah, oh, Midwest, me too. I'm from North Dakota." I'd be like, "No, you're not."
No, you're not from North Dakota, or no, you're not from the Midwest?
No, you're not from the Midwest.
Got it. Okay.
It just would not feel Midwest to me. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe some of our lovely community members, our unsportsmanlike community members from the Dakotas can chime in here. But I don't even know if they would identify Midwest.
Wait, so what states are in question for you here as to whether or not they're in the Midwest?
The Dakota Corridor. So
the Dakota Corridor. Again, a term that does not exist, but go ahead.
North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma. That little corridor, top to bottom, that column is a little sus to me.
I see what's happening. I didn't pick up on this. You work the map of the United States, you work in columns.
Yeah.
That is fascinating. So where's Texas for you?
Texas is his own deal. Texas is Texas.
What about Arkansas?
Why did you just change your voice for that?
Texas is Texas.
What are you, Tyrese Halliburton? Your voice all the time?
Texas is like his own country, but Texas is the
Texas
South.
Texas is his own country.
Yeah, there's like America and then there's Texas. No, Arkansas is the South. No doubt Arkansas is the South.
All right, so there's the debate out here as to the two Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma City. Are they in the Midwest? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, your telephone number to join the show and weigh in on Smalls' America. That's what we realize. Michelle Smallman has a new map of the United States that does not align with the actual map of the United States. The North and South Dakota corridor, that column, Are they all Midwest or not Midwest? 888-SAY-ESPN. Now, we know Michigan is in the Midwest, right?
Firmly in the Midwest.
And we are heading there today. Our producer, Nuno, has noticed something by way of ESPN Bet that is very, very interesting about their former quarterback and their former head coach. Nuno, I give you all the credit on this because what a catch by you. Can you explain what's happening here?
All right, so the one, I guess the quarterback that everyone doesn't know where he's going to land is J.J. McCarthy, right?
Right. Yeah.
So his odds have moved. But the interesting thing is, so have the Chargers' odds of not only drafting McCarthy, but drafting a quarterback. Mm. So the Chargers' odds to draft McCarthy were as long as 40-1. They are now 8-1, according to our friends at ESPN Bet. The Chargers' odds to draft a quarterback with their first pick opened at 100-1 and are now at 6-1. So the question is, are the Chargers really considering taking a quarterback, or is there a chance that they already have a deal in place for, let's say, McCarthy if he's there with another team?
So this is what I want to try to understand here. Are we saying, at ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN, only place to find offers from your favorite shows and personalities like Stephen A., what a play, terms and conditions apply. See app for details at ESPN Bet, and we will be at the ESPN Bet location in Detroit starting tomorrow. Are they saying that J.J. McCarthy is going to go 5 to the Chargers slot, or are they saying he's going to go to the Chargers potentially as a team? And is that why the odds go from 100-1 to 6-1? Because those are two different things. Like, yeah. Technically, Eli Manning was drafted by the Chargers, and Phillip Rivers was drafted by the Giants, right? So if you say, could J.J. McCarthy be drafted by the Chargers tomorrow night? Yes. Could he stay on the Chargers? The assumption is no. But based on these odds, your mind goes to crazy places. Because who's the coach of the Chargers?
Jim Harbaugh.
And who's the one guy who said, I would take him number one overall if I had that pick?
The guy who won a national title with him, Jim Harbaugh.
And so is it that absurd, the path that Nuno is leading us down, to think that maybe, possibly, Jim Harbaugh says, you know what? This guy is so good and is so valuable that if he, quote-unquote, slips to us at 5, we have to take him, even if we don't play him right away, and we put extra pressure on a guy that we all think is going to be a megastar under Harbaugh in Justin Herbert to perform, because if not, I got my guy sitting behind him. I have to assume, Smalls, that this would be the odds are lowering for him to be drafted in that slot, because that seems like the obvious slot for a team like the Vikings or the Giants to move up one slot, or anyone else that would be interested in potentially drafting this guy to get at number 5. But Nuno threw us for a loop on this one, because could the Chargers actually draft him?
They could. They absolutely could. Jim Harbaugh has made no bones about the fact that he loves J.J. McCarthy and he thinks he's going to be an excellent pro. And why wouldn't he love the guy? He helped him get a national championship at Michigan. He was malleable for Harbaugh. He did what was asked of him. He played the role to perfection at Michigan. He's got the makeup of a player that Jim Harbaugh would want with the Chargers. However, despite his love for J.J. McCarthy, I keep going back to the fact that a massive reason why he left Michigan to go to the NFL was to take this job specifically because he wanted to coach Justin Herbert. Before this was even on the radar, months ago, Greeny came in here and joined us and said he spoke to Harbaugh at a funeral.
Yep.
And one of the things that he told him was how much he loved Justin Herbert. And so even though I could definitely see the stars aligning and the Chargers with their first round pick picking J.J. McCarthy if he's there, I also don't know if they would want to waste that opportunity to get more talent to build around Justin Herbert, who is a huge reason why Harbaugh's even there.
I agree with you. It would seem so unlikely, but then how do you explain the odds going from 100-1 to 6-1? The only thing you could do is really look at the fact that he would be drafted in that slot, right? That's how you would have to look at it. In terms of where he is potentially going to be drafted, the odds where they open and where they are currently by way of ESPN Bet for J.J. McCarthy, who is probably the most interesting person here in the draft, because as to where he goes, we know Caleb Williams is going 1 to the Bears. We know Jaden Daniels is going 2 to Washington. We know Drake May, who's going to be on with us at 8:35 a.m. Eastern time, the North Carolina quarterback, is going number 3. We just don't know the team. We assume it's either New England or Minnesota is where we go, right? We assume Marvin Harrison Jr. is going 4 to Arizona, unless maybe possibly somebody trades up there. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to assume J.J. McCarthy goes 5 or 6.
Yes, that's where I have him slotted.
But we have no idea what team he would go to. And some think maybe he just slips all the way to 11 and Minnesota, right? So if you look at it, the odds where they open, where they are now. Number 2 overall, 50-1 to 10-1 now. Number 3 overall, 6-1 to 4-1 now. Number 4 overall, 16-1 to now plus 350. And number 5 overall, 13-1 to now plus 240. So that 4 or 5 slot is where ESPN Bet is targeting him going. But Nuno noticing what he noticed about the Chargers is very interesting, specifically because who the quarterback is, the Michigan guy, and who the coach is, the Michigan guy with the tattoo, M15-0. And could we be thrown for a loop in a way that none of us see coming?
So in this scenario, if they were to stay put at 5 and take McCarthy there.
It's one of the biggest draft shocks we'll ever have.
Will it be that shocking though, because of the coach?
You just said it. The big funeral. Sorry to whoever passed. Rest in peace.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. And we don't actually know because Greeny and Harbaugh were at a funeral that just they are talking about Justin Herbert. Yeah, because you said it. The guy took the job because of the other guy, and now he's going to replace him?
Not replace him, but you always say you have them laminated, the quarterback rules.
I'm glad you
draft a quarterback when you want one, not when you need one.
Yeah.
And he wants J.J. McCarthy. He doesn't need him.
I'm fascinated by this. I am fascinated
so
by this.
So it wouldn't be that.
It still would be stunning. Absolutely stunning.
I wouldn't be completely shocked. I would be a little bit more shocked that some other team didn't jump up to get him.
888-SAY-ESPN is your telephone number to join the show. We got two things out there for you guys to chime in on. One, the North Dakota column.
No, the Dakota Corridor.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Dakota Corridor, that column where the Dakotas are in the United States. Is that the Midwest? And is there a bigger, realistic draft shock than the idea of J.J. McCarthy to the Chargers? By the way, Adam Schefter is here. A Michigan man who had J.J. McCarthy on his most recent podcast on the ESPN app. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Adam, Michelle, I'm sitting here in Detroit. I'm taking some notes. It's like 6 in the morning, and I see the headline pop on the screen, could J.J. McCarthy be a Charger? And I hear you talking about the odds dropping. Let me remind you that the odds also increased dramatically that the Commanders are going to be taking Drake May at 2 last week for whatever reason. And Jaden Daniels always has been the favorite in that spot and remains to be a favorite. So I see the headline on the screen, could J.J. McCarthy be a Charger? And I see you, Michelle, debate. They're not drafting J.J. McCarthy. They're not drafting J.J. McCarthy. Now, could somebody trade into 5 to draft J.J. McCarthy? If that's the bet, yeah, that's possible. Absolutely. But the Chargers have Justin Herbert. The new money in Justin Herbert's contract has not kicked in. They can't trade Justin Herbert. So they're not drafting J.J. McCarthy as the first pick to create a controversial situation in L.A. about who they should start as quarterback when they've drafted a franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert and he's the guy. So I don't know how the odds on that would ever go up to, what you say, 8-1
at
this point?
They got down to 6-1. Adam, I have to believe that that's
for oh my God.
That has to be for the slot, not the team, right?
Has to be for the slot.
Yeah.
Has to be for the slot. Cannot be for the team.
And
has to be for the slot. Now, again, but I see the headline on your screen. Could J.J. McCarthy be a Charger? No. J.J. McCarthy can't be a Charger.
From Adam Schefter himself. And Adam, wasn't Herbert a huge reason why Harbaugh even wanted this job at the outset?
Absolutely. It was definitely a attractive part of it to go coach a quarterback like that. And so, you know, could ultimately the Chargers tomorrow night be the team that trades that? That's possible. Absolutely. But they are not drafting J.J. McCarthy. That's not going to happen. And that has to be what it is, that the odds went to 6-1 on the slot, not the team. Has to be. It can't be any other way.
We don't want to disrupt your time in Detroit, but anything else that we need to know here one day before the draft, as long as we got you, Shefty?
I'm just monitoring. You know, I'll weigh in as I watch the show.
I like this. Schefter as the unsportsmanlike ombudsman. That's really what we have
exactly.
Here. I love it.
That's my new tell. I just, like I said, I'm just sitting here taking notes, working. I look, could J.J. McCarthy be? No, I said, let me call in here and just set the record straight. No, J.J. McCarthy can't be a Charger as the unsportsmanlike ombudsman.
Beautiful. Thank you, Schefter. We'll see you in Detroit.
Thank you.
The unsportsmanlike ombudsman, the new term for Adam Schefter, brought to us by BetterHelp each and every week, betterhelp.com/Adam. We're unsportsmanlike with the ombudsman on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Michelle Smallman has started two controversies already today.
This is remarkable. What's happening this morning?
One controversy you've started is about where the Dakota Corridor, which you've made up, should be labeled in the United States of America. Is it Midwest? Where is it exactly? Or
Upper Northwest.
Upper Northwest, yeah. Right? Okay, sure. You've also started a controversy that when Nuno presents to us the fascinating odds per ESPN bet about J.J. McCarthy, his odds going from 100 to 1 to 6 to 1 to the Chargers at 5, you think it's not the craziest thing in the world to think it's actually the Chargers. I'm saying it has to just be the slot, that the odds are he gets drafted at 5 overall. And you're saying, well, it's not the craziest thing I've heard, to which Adam Schefter just called in.
Yeah.
And we love Shefty, the ombudsman of our show. So if we say something wrong in this segment, we expect to hear from Adam.
Yeah, absolutely.
In about 10 minutes that we screwed up something with Penix and Nix coming up as absolutely. Well, that you think maybe there's a chance,
even though
Schefter told us there's no chance.
I think it's highly unlikely, but just based on the mutual love between the two and the success that they've had together – and the fact that Jim Harbaugh has been so vocal in this process leading up to tomorrow night about how much he loves J.J. McCarthy and how well he thinks he's going to do in the NFL, it is not the craziest thing I've ever heard. Like I said, highly improbable because he took the job in large part because he wanted to work with Justin Herbert, which who can blame him? This guy is a top 10 quarterback that we still feel has another level to him, that there is a part of his game that can be unlocked. That is very appealing for a guy like Jim Harbaugh. But I wouldn't be totally floored if McCarthy somehow landed with the Chargers.
I think we should take down the graphic on ESPN, too. Could J.J. McCarthy be a Charger? If we're going to respect Adam Schefter as this show's ombudsman.
And he is.
He corrected our mistake. I think we have to listen. What Schefter says goes. We have to change that.
So should it say, why have the odds shifted?
Better.
Because that's what we're really
kicking
around.
Could J.J. McCarthy go fifth?
Yes.
I'm not blaming Mark Morales, who's our TV producer today. He's looking into Nick's G League stats currently. But I just think if Schefter is going to say it, we have to respect Schefter and his new role on this show. Andy in South Dakota on 102.3.
Dakota.
The Midwest? What's up, Andy?
Good morning, guys. Real quick, Small, you made a comment how Nebraska and Kansas are part of the Midwest. I just want to say we are straight up north of Nebraska and Kansas, so we're kind of considered, I would say, the upper Midwest in our wonderful country.
Yes, I put, Andy, the Dakotas, as I said, in the Dakota Corridor. That whole column of the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, top to bottom, I kind of consider it its own thing, starting with the Dakotas.
The Dakota Corridor. It's literally called, I'm getting tweets from people at FCO Radio, it's called the Great Plains, and yet she has made
the Great Plains.
She's made up a term for this. JP in Raleigh on ESPN2. What's up, JP?
Hey, how you doing? First, Michelle, I graduated from Illinois in 93.
Nice.
So big fan.
ILL, JP.
Thanks. The other thing, I agree, Great Plains, and I think Missouri is kind of questionable
Totally sus.
St. Louis in the upper half is definitely Midwest, but southern part of Missouri, I'd call the South.
Could not agree more. So, when
southern
you,
part of Missouri is the South?
You get 30 minutes outside of St. Louis, you might as well be in Arkansas. And let me tell you something. When I meet people, I say I am from St. Louis, but on the Illinois side, which is a very important distinction. I do not identify Missouri at all. And I think Missouri is more south. That little chunk of St. Louis is kind of Midwest, but a lot of Missouri I would consider the South. Could not agree with JP more.
Okay. Jerry in Kansas on Sirius XM 80 in the Midwest or the Dakota Corridor. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, good morning, guys. I call it the upper Midwest.
Love that, Jerry.
North, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Michigan. And since I'm from Arkansas, go Hogs. I'd say Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas is in the South.
And Jerry, what about Kansas? Do you put Kansas firmly in the Midwest?
Yes.
Okay.
Most definitely with Missouri.
See?
All of
Missouri. See what? You're making stuff up.
But that little Kansas, Missouri, it's the Midwest, but it's kind of Oklahoma. It's kind of its own little chunk right there.
You keep saying the chunk. I don't know where these things are. I want to tell everybody. I have a map of the United States on my screen as we're having this conversation. I really know where nothing is. I have to actually follow. It would be easier for me to give you random draft prospects and random notes about the NBA playoffs last night than it would be to actually identify states on a map.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not very smart. Mason in St. Louis on 101 ESPN. What's up, Mason?
Hey, good morning, guys. I was just calling to say I definitely think Kansas and Missouri are more Midwest than Wisconsin and Minnesota up north.
No.
Wait, what? No. I spent 5 years in Wisconsin. I went to the University of Wisconsin and then worked there afterwards. You're telling me Wisconsin is not the Midwest?
It's so Midwest.
It is literally.
No, that's way more north. That's way more north.
Wisconsin is so Midwest. Crown jewel of the Midwest, in my opinion.
How can you? Thank you. How can you not consider Wisconsin the Midwest when you think – I am so proud as a New Yorker. I am from New York. I live in New York now. I'd spent years in Florida, but I spent 5 years living in the Midwest. And part of like who I am as a person, the values that I have and the experiences from living in the Midwest and experiencing something totally different with the amazing people in the state of Wisconsin, that's the Midwest.
Oh, Wisconsin and Minnesota, they may be upper Midwest – they are firmly in the Midwest category.
All right. We'll
great states.
We'll see what Schefter has to say as to whether or not he disagrees with the map of the United States given out by Michelle Smallman. I know Adam will not disagree with this, and that is True Green is presenting all of our draft coverage, and they're presenting a beautiful lawn to you. I hate doing lawn care. I'm not doing it. You think I know what I'm doing? No way. I don't even know the map of the United States. That's why I use True Green. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. We all know those are some nice greens. So just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow. And to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April 30th, get one application free. Visit truegreen.com for the best lawn at the best price guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Whose Super Bowl party would you like to attend?
Let's party!
Who would you let babysit your kids?
We're just going to play with matches, run with scissors.
Or, oh yeah, who would you enjoy some pumpkin pie with? It's another edition of the ESPN Personality Draft on Unsportsmanlike.
Thank you, Mel Kiper. We're going to see a lot of Mel over the next few days. Can't wait. NFL Draft, we are going to be there in Detroit. CC back with us tomorrow and Friday from Detroit. ESPN Bet, True Green, thank you. We are heading to Detroit for the draft, where J.J. McCarthy, where does he go? Michael Penix, where does he go? Bo Nix, where does he go? And what team does Drake May go to? Fascinating questions, all to be answered tomorrow and maybe Friday in the case of Nix and Penix.
Maybe.
Right? Like, there's no guarantee that those two guys are going to be drafted tomorrow night. We would think they would be. I've said on the record that I think that six in the top 16 from the quarterbacks, but I'm not sure I'm going to be right about that. All right, Smalls, each and every Wednesday at this time, we do an ESPN personality draft. We pick a topic and we draft the ESPN personalities off of that topic. Tell everybody what we're doing today and why we're doing it.
Well, today, right after the show, we are on our way to the airport to catch a flight to go to Detroit for the draft. So today in our ESPN personality draft, we are going to draft people from ESPN that we'd want to sit next to on a flight.
Now, I've already been shot down on one thing.
Okay.
So I wanted to pick people that I know fly private, because then if you pick them, then you're on the flight with them.
No.
You can't. And Pat told me off on this. Well, Herb Street has an amazing private jet deal, right? We've seen with Game Day.
Yes.
The entire Game Day crew.
Yeah, you can't travel like his dog, Evan, in the lap of luxury. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I tried. All right. Go ahead, Smalls. Kick us off.
Okay. So our ESPN personality draft, the first person that I am going to select that I want to sit next to on a flight, specifically this flight that I'm going to take today because it's top of mind, give me Adam Schefter. Give me friend of the show, Adam Schefter
as my first pick.
Not only is Schefter nice and considerate, so I think he would be a great seatmate, we're going to Detroit. He's watching the show right now and just called in to chime in on our conversation about J.J. McCarthy. If he's strapped in at 30,000 feet, he can't escape me. So I will be peppering him with draft questions and undoubtedly come out with a very interesting nugget of information.
So that's the thing. Like, are we on a flight? Normally, I like to put my headsets on, get my laptop open, and I'm done. I'm not talking to anybody. I guess we're playing out in this scenario that we're going to talk to people, right? I guess we're going to have to.
Well,
right.
It depends on if that's what you want.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna play that out here. So my first two picks, we're doing it snake draft style. I get two, then you get two, et cetera. Adrian Wojnarowski.
So hold on. We're also picking for Kante because, you know, that was as we've done previously.
Oh, yes. Go next, right?
Well,
yes.
I just made my pick,
okay,
though.
Okay, you can take Woj. No, you're fine. You can take Woj. Tell us why you're going to take Woj.
All right, I'm going to take Woj for many reasons. But I'm going to take Woj because Woj has been so nice to us since we started and so welcoming. So that's number one. Check mark. We love Woj. Second thing, he will be annoyed with me by the end of this flight, but I am going to ask him so many questions about free agency and trades. He'll put three headsets on. I can't listen to this guy anymore. Leave me alone. So there's my first pick with Woj. Go ahead, Nuno. Sorry, I didn't realize we had CeCe's picks.
Yeah, so Pat's going to pick first for CeCe.
And I'm going to take Jeff Darlington because I feel like it would be a good...
That was on mine, too!
Good one.
He's a perfect combination of, you know, you could chat about football, you could chat about whatever, but I feel like he'd also, at some point, know when to just stop talking and put his headphones on, too.
Darlington, also one of those guys you assume smells good.
Oh, absolutely.
Darlington definitely smells good. I'm just saying, we've been around Darlington. He's as cool as could be. Darlington definitely smells good. You want to sit next to somebody that smells good on a plane.
Without a doubt.
All right, Smalls.
No, hold on. It's a snake draft, so I have the next.
You forget how this goes.
But I'm the one who picks the two.
Yeah, I know. You screwed it up. You jumped ahead of this.
I give up.
I'm going to take friend of the show, whose birthday was yesterday, Field Yates.
Another guy who has got to smell good.
And Field is very versatile, loves the NBA, very versatile on things. Plus, also, it's, you know, when you shut up. Like, hey, we'll have some conversations, stop talking, that type of thing. So, go with Field Yates.
Good one.
Now you can go, Evan.
Now I go with my second pick from the first round, correct?
It's your second pick.
Okay. My second pick is someone that, to say that I would want information out of and stories from would be an understatement. Give me Teddy Bruschi.
Oh, boy. He.
Another
poor
guy.
Teddy Bruschi.
He would hate sitting next to you.
It's amazing how many people would despise me by the end of this flight. Because I'm asking Woj about every trade possible. And I just want to know, wait, so when Tom did this, what about when Bill did that, Teddy? Like, what about this? What about when you won this game? What about when you won that game? Or how about you and Vrabel? Tell me about that. Oh, God, would he be annoyed by me. Go ahead, Smalls.
So my next pick is someone that not only I want to talk to, but again, I think would be a very considerate seatmate. I think this person probably has great social cues because in her job, she has to read the room and know when to wrap up a subject or when to pull something more out of you. She understands the art of the conversation. And to your point about smelling good, she's always so fashionable. I bet she has an amazing perfume on, so I would love to sit next to her. And we could talk football. We could talk golf. We could talk anything. Give me Laura Rutledge.
That's a good one. Very good one.
I want to sit next to Laura Rutledge on a flight.
Whose turn is it? I don't want to screw this up.
It's a snake draft, so Michelle.
Okay. I just screwed it up.
So I want to sit next to someone on a flight if we're operating under the premise that we're going to laugh. We're going to be talking. So I want to sit next to somebody that is going to make me laugh. You know who's so fun to talk to? And I think I could talk to for the entirety of a flight and I would laugh. And who would absolutely stand up to probably help me with my bag because he's that type of guy. It's Damian Woody, friend of the show who's going to join us later today. I'm rounding out my top three with Damian Woody.
Well done. Next pick is who, Nuno?
That would be you, Evan.
Okay. I'm going to pick someone on a flight. One of the keys is you got to know when to talk and when not to talk.
Right?
Monica McNutt did such an unbelievable job. The final call of the Knicks game the other night that went viral, her ability to know, okay, I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to jump in there. Wait, I got to sit back here. That is flight etiquette 101. Monica McNutt thought she was doing a great broadcast, and she did. But she also gave flight etiquette 101 as to when to talk and when not to talk. So give me Monica McNutt on the flight next to me today to Detroit.
Good.
Thanks.
I had her on my big board.
Nah, well, you could have picked her.
I know. I went with Damian instead, but Monica, right. Solid pick.
All right, Nuno.
Go ahead, Javante.
All right, I'm going with Freddie simply because I feel like Freddie would not talk that much and I wouldn't want to talk to people that much. I'm normally a guy that throw my headphones on and listen to music. And as we all know, Freddie has a great music selection choice. So if I run out of music, I feel like I go to Freddie, like, hey, Freddie, what should I listen to?
Freddie Coleman's a great pick.
That is an awesome pick.
I just realized I should have picked Javante. He wouldn't say a word. It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I'd be asleep the entire time.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.